At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
What if home wasn't a place, but a rhythm or a feel you carry within you? Today's guest seems to embody that very idea. She likes to call herself a global citizen. Welcome to Discovering Journeys, and I'm your host, Sujala, where we explore diverse journeys. This isn't just a story about packing boxes and changing time zones. It's about building identity across cultures, raising children who belong, and quietly carving your own space when the spotlight isn't on you. Kaho is a creative soul passionate about interior designing, photography, and blogging. She's a yoga-certified expat mama of three who has moved more than 15 times. In this episode, we talk about what it means to live a life shaped by movement, to rediscover, and to find home, not in location, but in your heart. I am convinced she is made for this global life, and this conversation is about identity and the quiet strength that takes to do so. Let's go. Hello, Kaho. Happy to have this conversation with you on Discovering Journeys. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
You have been moving since 2000 to so many places and countries, like namely Senegal, Japan, India, US, Philippines. With each new move, there comes a mixed bag of emotions and administrative works, culture shocks, learning so many things about the place. So how were you and your family able to do this so frequently?
My expat journey started when I was a child. I was five when my family moved to Los Angeles from Tokyo. And we were there for 2 years. And in my high school, when I started high school, my family moved to Singapore. So I had the exposure to expat life as a child. And that seemed to have helped me sort of learn how to cope with some emotions and learning. But the admin work as an adult came quite, you know, challenging. And having a great partner, my husband, has helped so much. He and I work very well together. Also, you know, we got married in Japan, actually, and we had 1 year together so that I could apply for a visa. And then we moved to Austin, Texas, where my husband is from. Well, my husband is from San Antonio, Texas. So we moved to Texas, and my husband went back to school. And I started my very first full-time job as an adult. And that first year, it was the second year of our marriage, but the first year living abroad, away from my family, I moved across the oceans. I was so far away from my family and the friends that I've had. I had to rebuild my life. And that 1 year was very challenging, but very rewarding in a way that I think that really helped the foundation of the expat life and the relationship with my husband and the trust that we built. And that really carried through our moves and, you know, the challenges that we went through in our expat life.
Okay, interesting. So you were exposed to the expat life for a very long time, and when you were a child. What are some of the places which you loved and you felt it was very easy?
So it's interesting, we get that question quite often, and you know, we actually loved every single place that we've lived. You know, at different stage of our life came with different posts, and I think I felt that every post was perfect for that stage of our life. Like we, you know, our first posting with my husband's career was Dakar, Senegal, and we got pregnant with our first child. We brought our first child back to Senegal, and that was great. It was a great adventure. We loved it. You know, and then we went to Okinawa, and our second child was born in Okinawa. And that was, you know, we made so many great memories there. And we moved to Jakarta as a family of four. And we got pregnant with our third child. I gave birth in Singapore and moved, you know, back to Jakarta. And that was fantastic for that stage of our life. And, you know, we loved India. You know, you're from India. So, like, you know, it was such a, it's such a special place for us. We had an amazing time. Our kids loved their school. So I would say, you know, each place, and of course we had, you know, Manila and Tokyo, and those were amazing as well. But we loved every single place. And it's hard for us to say which one is our favorite.
If you have to pick to go back next year, which one would you pick of the previous list?
You know, the world is so big that I think we would actually love to go to a new place. But, you know, I was very spoiled at the last posting, which was Tokyo. And I'm from there and my family's there. And as at my age, I realized how important it is to have family members. I'm grateful that my parents are still alive. I feel very fortunate. I would love to be close to my parents, but I chose this life. So, you know, I'm open to any place, actually.
In the midst of moving and embracing life as it comes and enjoying the family life, what has been your experience as a mother been?
Expat life helped me tremendously to be a mother. It gave me a lot of confidence. Having been sent overseas through an organization, you get a lot of perks. And we've been lucky enough to be posted in cities where we were able to hire help. So we had a domestic help in Senegal, not in Okinawa, but in Jakarta, Mumbai, and in Manila. And all these places, you know, we had a baby, you know, we had our first one in Senegal, we had our second in Okinawa, but then we had the third one in Jakarta. Any moms would know that, you know, it's hard to raise young children and any extra help helps. And I didn't have any family members nearby to rely on. So having helpers in our lives really helped us raise our children. It takes a village to raise kids. And I truly believe that. And I didn't, you know, my husband and I didn't raise our kids on our own. With all the helps that we got throughout our life, they really helped me as a mother.
Yeah, I agree with you, because being an expat myself, it gives a sense of confidence. Maybe during that phase, you are scared, you are doubtful, you are like, oh my God, how can I handle it? And with any bit of extra help, it's like a blessing, I would say.
Yes.
Now your kids were growing and you were also moving places. So once they were at a stage of understanding what change meant for them, how did you and your husband prepare them mentally? Because they know that change means leaving their friends and leaving the comfort of the environment which they have grown. So how did you handle it?
That's a great question. It has always been very difficult, especially with my oldest, who is 20 now. She really enjoyed living in Virginia. We lived here between 2016 and 18, and she went to sixth grade and seventh grade. And when we found out that we were moving to Manila in her seventh grade year, she said she didn't want to move. And she had a very good friend whose family said, you know, she could live with them and keep going to school there, a new school in Virginia. And I had to talk to her that I felt confident that she would love Manila and the international school that she would go to. But, you know, we had to have a conversation with her, and she struggled with moves. Even though she was always surrounded by a lot of friends, she was, you know, always a popular kid. She did not enjoy moving. And I think, you know, no kids enjoy that probably. But I knew that, you know, every time she moved, she struggled, but then she always made great friends. She enjoyed. I think parents just have to have an honest conversation, you know, tell them that they would support whatever happens and trust that they will have good friends.
So out of the three kids, your daughter was found it hard and the other two were okay?
You know, it's interesting because my second one always struggled at the beginning of new school. And I thought that she did not like moving, but it turned out when she became a high school student, she expressed that she actually enjoys living overseas. So that came as a surprise. My son is still, you know, he's 13. So I think he, you know, he had tears for the first time when he moved away from Manila. He was only third grade. You know, he cried when he said goodbye. But before he left Virginia to Manila, he didn't. So I realized that, you know, like the first grade, second grade, that's when kids realize how sad it is to move away from their friends and say goodbye. So I think he does feel sad, but I think he hasn't said that, you know, he dislikes his lifestyle. He's taking it.
What are some of the culture shocks that has stayed with you over the years?
I feel like I became numb to culture shocks because I started this expat life when I was very young. But one thing that I was surprised when I moved back to Tokyo after, or 20, 21 or 22, yeah, somewhere around there, 22 years, 23 years, I was surprised how actually Japan has not changed. I thought that Tokyo would be so different, but a lot of things were the same, so I became a bit nostalgic. I think because we moved so frequently, I haven't had anything that made me like, wow, this is so different. But I do find, you know, I've lived in countries like, well, India and the Philippines where English is spoken by so many people. It's almost, you know, everybody speaks English so well. But each of the cities like Mumbai and Manila, they have their own expressions. And I found them really interesting, that English expressions that, you know, maybe the Americans are not familiar with. Like, for example, in Mumbai, one time my helper said her aunt was expired, and that was an expression that I've never heard before until then. So I thought that was really interesting. And then also in Manila, if you walk into a store, they say, "Hello, ma'am, sir." And I've never heard that expression. So ma'am and sir are combined. So they say, "Hello, ma'am, sir," as if it becomes like a one word. So I found those little discoveries very precious and enjoyed them a lot.
Yeah. When you say that, for me, when I moved to France, they say, "Bonjour, messieurs, dames." That is like madam and sir as well. So they joined the word. What are some funny situations you have encountered, maybe due to culture or maybe you didn't understand? And, you know, it could be anything from your, I don't know, more than 25 years of expat life. I'm sure there must be more.
That's true. Oh, so when I was in Mumbai, I bought a sari. You know, like if you're in India, like you can't help buying a sari. They're so beautiful. So we were invited to a wedding and all the husbands didn't want to go. So the girls got together and we went to a wedding. And, you know, I can't wear a Western dress to an Indian wedding. So I went to get a sari and I went to a sari shop and I found this gorgeous mint green color sari, and I had to buy this top, and the tops are so small. I didn't realize how small they make, very well fitted, but I had to try on before I purchase it. So I tried it on in the fitting room And when I tried to, you know, it fit well, it was kind of tight. By the time I wanted to remove it, I could not remove it. You know, all the shopkeepers were men.
Oh,
and
I
you know, I opened the curtain. I said, I cannot remove this top. And I almost panicked. And I almost asked an Indian man, I'm like, will you help me take this off? I managed to take it off without getting help. But I thought, he must have thought I'm crazy that I'm asking this strange man. I'm like, will you help me take off this top? I'm glad that I was able to remove it. I think because I was sweating so much, I couldn't remove it well. I ended up buying the top, and, you know, when I wore it, it was totally fine. And I did get help from my husband when I had to remove it after the wedding. But I still have that sari.
Ah, that's nice. Yes, I love saris. Anything else?
You know, this is not a funny story, but when I was in Dakar, Senegal, I was pregnant with my first child, and our friends came to visit from out of the country. So we went out at night, and my husband and my friend's husband were walking on the sidewalk, and there were cars parked along the pavement, and my friend and I were walking on the street. And it was kind of dark. It was one-way street. You know, cars should be coming from front to the, you know, our way. But I heard the noise from the back. And I was holding a purse on the street side. And the noise stopped right next to me. And I turned and I realized that two men on the bike stopped next to me, and they grabbed my purse. I instantly held on to the purse. I should have let go, but I instantly held on to my purse. And the next thing, I kind of flew in the air and I rolled, and I was 6 months pregnant. And my friend who was right next to me screamed, and the men noticed what happened, and they went after those two men, and they grabbed my purse. But, you know, it was dark. There was no street lights, I guess. And I realized later on, my friend and I should have never walked on the street in a place like that. But I think, you know, we had lived in Senegal for like a year already, and our guards were down. And the lesson that I learned was that, you know, when you move to a new city, you keep your guard up for like, for 1 year, because you're nervous and you're trying to learn. And then once you feel very comfortable, I think that's when bad things happen.
Oh, so sorry to hear that. Yeah, scary.
You know, I think I was at a bad place at the bad time.
That's a great outlook and how you perceive it.
My first child was born fine, so I'm very grateful for that. But when you move to a new city, wherever that is, I think it's very important that you never let the guard down.
Oh, yeah. Such an important one. Yeah.
Hey, listener. Thank you for tuning into Discovering Journeys. If you're enjoying this conversation, I would love for you to take a quick moment to follow the podcast on Instagram so you never miss these incredible stories and learnings. Also, please consider sharing it with a friend or leaving a review, as it goes a long way in helping more people discover this podcast. Now, let's get back to the conversation.
In the midst of nurturing the family, helping with the move, bringing up kids, answering their questions, managing the home, schedules and everything, how did you support yourself emotionally? And once their schedule starts, you said bye-bye in the morning, and then sometimes it hits you, though it's like it's so silent. The house is so silent. So those are the periods of isolation. It hits me. So I want to ask you that. How did you support yourself?
That's a great question. I think one thing that I've had was friends. Every time we move to a new place, even though it might be hard to meet a lot of new people, I always said yes to all the invitations that I received, and I made efforts to meet people that I could connect with. And having those friends helped me so much emotionally, especially in the expat community. Everybody's on the same boat. So having those friends who can understand our situation really helped me get through those emotional period, especially at the beginning. You're lonely and you're left alone in the house and you don't know the city. And it's intimidating to navigate a new city, especially if you don't speak the language or don't know the culture very well. So having those friends who also went through the same thing was a, you know, big help. And another thing that I would say is yoga. And I got certified to teach yoga back in Mumbai 10 years ago. And having that teaching and the background that I learned through yoga teacher training in Mumbai has helped me so much through navigating this expat life in the second half of our, you know, expat journey. So, you know, moving back here to Virginia after Mumbai, moving to Manila and Tokyo. Having yoga philosophy has helped me and supported me tremendously.
What was your lowest point?
The lowest point that I hit was when we moved to Austin 1 year after our marriage. So we experienced a big move and we were still newlyweds. I left my home country. I left my family. I started a new life and I started a new job. And my husband was in school, so he couldn't spend much time with me. He was very focused on his studying, which I'm very grateful for. And I wanted to support him for that, but I didn't get to see him very much. So I had to navigate and find myself in a brand new city where actually my husband had a lot of roots. And, you know, he had family friends and friends from high school around him, but I didn't have anybody. And I became very lonely. So I think that was when I felt that I was at the lowest point. But I'm very grateful for that experience because I learned how to cope with loneliness and I learned how to make new friends. And I made wonderful friends in Austin. My husband and I built trust and very good relationship. So that low point probably became more like a high point that helped me through, helped me navigate expat life.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The loneliness. Yes. When it hits you, I believe only you can help yourself because you have to find a way out of it. And everybody process or everybody deals with it differently. And one solution can't be provided. For some, it will be just making new friends. For some people, it will be having a kind of a routine for themselves. What can they do? How did you figure out what helped you? We are stuck in that loop of feeling loneliness. And you're like, okay, what will help me? Because you've never been in that situation before.
You know, that's very true. And, you know, for me, that has been my passion. Having something that excites you, that makes your heart skip a beat. I think that's really important. So for me, that has been photography, blogging, traveling also, but I think blogging and photography, so and then interior design. Those are the three things I would say that always excited me every time we moved.
Has there been a situation where it just warmed your heart?
Yes, definitely when my kids find their friends and look happy, I think, or when my husband found a really nice friend and he's having a great time, like seeing my family members feeling happy in a new place, especially at the beginning, after having seen them kind of struggle in the new place, not having friends that they feel connected with. But then they, you know, find those people and finding their place in a new city, that really instantly warmed my heart.
Yeah, that's a beautiful feeling.
Oh, it is, definitely.
You have been moving so much that it looks like, you know, expat life is meant for you. That's how easy you make it look like.
Oh, thank you.
So what does home mean to you?
I always go back to that question, what home means to me. And I think a lot of expats go through that question. I do love this lifestyle. Like you said, you know, you guessed it right. This suits my personality. I really enjoy moving, even though, you know, this last move was very difficult and it took a toll on my health. Like, I realized I'm not young anymore and it is not easy to move physically. Home is where my family is. And if I have my family, I can make any place home by decorating the way I have always done. So to me, decorating is not just about materials. It's about the people, being able to share that space with my husband and our children.
Beautiful. One of the things where people don't enjoy expat, or they have, you know, they're like 50-50. The belongingness gets to them. They're like, you can't do anything about it. Loneliness, they say, you can work it out, you can figure out a way, try to learn something new or enhance or improve whatever skills or interest you have. But a sense of belongingness, sometimes they miss it. They don't feel, like their heart don't feel.
That's an interesting question to me, because I actually feel like sometimes I don't belong anywhere. I would like to consider myself a citizen of the universe or a citizen of the globe, because I'm not a typical Japanese person, probably for a lot of Japanese people's eyes. I'm not an American. I wasn't born here. I wasn't raised here, although I spent, you know, many years in the United States. Even though I look Japanese, I feel like I might not belong there. And here, I feel like I'm an American, but people might not see me that way. It's interesting, and it might be weird to say that I feel comfortable sometimes when I'm abroad, because I'm both. People see me as Japanese and American. But also, as I get older, I became more comfortable with that, and I don't struggle with that identity. Like, I am Japanese and I am American, and I'm very at peace with it. I always find great friends that I can share experiences with, and, you know, everybody seems to have struggles of their own, and the struggles of identity and struggles of feeling, you know, the belonging, like finding their place. So to be able to share that with other people has really removed the heaviness of that question. And I haven't found the answer yet.
You know, the more I talk to you, I'm so convinced that expat life is made for you. Or you make expat life like a breeze.
Oh, thank you. Oh, you're so sweet.
So, overall, if you have to count, how many times have you moved?
I think roughly with my husband, I think we moved 14 times.
Whoa! And of which
11 is international moves. But then I moved with my parents, and I, you know, we moved like five times, something like that.
So 20 times overall.
Wow. Something like that. Yeah.
No wonder you have embraced it so well. And
it's in my blood, probably.
Oh, wow. And what I really admire is you have such a positive outlook on this whole expat life.
Oh, thank you. I'd like to stay positive. That's my sort of everyday, like, I have this mantra, and I have it right by the front door of our home. It says, bloom where you're planted.
Beautiful. Now we are towards the end of this episode, and I'm going to ask you the three questions as a takeaway. What advice would you give to a new mother in a new place?
I would say be grateful, because there are always people who would love to be in your shoe, even if it might be a tough one, like to be a mother. You know, I always think when I was struggling with my kids, especially when they were young, I thought, you know, there are all these, probably a lot of women who would love to become a mother. And I'm lucky enough to have children. So even if they give me a hard time, like I'm grateful that I have them. And that sort of shifted my perspective when I'm going through a tough time. I think to be open-minded in accepting might open the door that you've never imagined. Another thing, the third thing is keep learning. I feel, you know, I'm still learning every day.
How can one not lose a sense of identity in a new country or when they're moving?
To me, when I move to a new country, you know, people see me as a Japanese or American. And to know the cultures of where you come from is very important. You know, you get asked questions and it's kind of embarrassing if you can't answer. So I had to learn about some of my own culture or cultural aspects or politics or whatever. When I got married, I felt like I lost my identity as Kaho because everybody saw me as my husband's wife. And when I had kids, people saw me as my kid's mom. So all these time, I also had to relearn how to be myself. So the identity part, you know, because I couldn't have a job because of the lifestyle, I also struggled with that. And I had to find a way to identify myself in photography and blogging and interior design. Those really played a big role in my life as my identity. And then people started seeing me as Kaho, not as, I mean, I'm proud of my identity as my husband's wife and my kid's mom, but I'm very happy to be Kaho, who does interior designing and blogging, photography.
That's so true. Sometimes we just go with the flow, and sometimes long back, who are you? Remains a question to yourself. Forget about somebody asking you, it hits you hard.
Right, right.
You yourself are like, okay, what are you doing for yourself? That question kinds of, I think, is the biggest thing, yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, everybody wants to have, to be viewed as someone, you know, away from those, you are you, and what do you offer to the world? And, you know.
Yeah. What's one life lesson that has stuck with you all the while and you're going to take it forward to?
So in expat life, I always felt the biggest challenge for me was uncertainty, because for our lifestyle, sometimes we don't know where we are going next, when we will be moving, which school our kids might be going, where we might be living. So those uncertainties made our life a little bit disruptive. One thing I can say is that everything is going to be okay. As a human, you want to know, you want to have certainty, but you know, life brings a lot of uncertainties, and that's how life is. So just to know that at the end, everything is going to be okay really lifted a lot of the weight off my shoulders and the stress, because I, you know, I'm a warrior. I worry about a lot of things. That's my nature. But I always tell myself, you know, don't stress yourself out too much. Don't worry about the future. Just focus on the moment, right? You know, right this moment.
Beautiful. I think wherever you are, I think this is one of the best way to embrace life itself.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
Thank you so much, Kaho, for showing that you're made for expat life and for this lovely conversation.
Thank you so much for having me and allowing me to go out of my comfort zone. I truly enjoyed this conversation with you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Discovering Journeys. I would love for this podcast to reach as many people as possible. So please remember to subscribe, rate, and leave a positive review. Share this podcast with someone you think who would appreciate this conversation. Check out the show notes for all the links and details. Until next time, keep embracing your journey and discovering new paths.